morning and turn to the book of Galatians this morning. Just praying about, always praying about Lord, what the Lord had me to speak on each service. And as I woke up Monday morning, I believe it was, this is the message that the Lord gave me. Sometimes it takes all week to come up with a message. Sometimes it's Friday and I'm still, Lord, what do you want me to say? And I said, Lord, if you don't say something, I don't know what you mean to do up there for 45 minutes. I just get up there and look at folks, I guess. You know, I don't know. I'll read something, say something. But sometimes it's early in the week. Sometimes it's weeks ahead. It's just different. The Lord speaks in different ways and different times. But thank God that he does speak. Galatians chapter 6 this morning. Galatians chapter 6. And look in the first five verses. Galatians chapter 6, the first five verses. Brethren, if any man may have taken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall ye have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Lord, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for the message that you've given me. Help me, Lord, to be obedient, to say what you'd have me to say and not to say anything that you would not have me to say today. I pray, Lord, for those folks who've come in this room, your house. I pray, God, that you'd bless them for their faithfulness to be here, the obedience to your word, to assemble together. I pray that you would encourage them, instruct them. And Lord, I pray, Lord, again, as we pray often, Lord, if there's one in this room who does not know you, dear Father, you must do the work as you always do. You draw them to yourself. I pray that you would draw that person to yourself or persons to yourself before it is too late. And Father, I pray that you would do what I cannot do to those of us who know God, that you speak to them and help, Lord, each one of us to be encouraged, challenged, rebuked, whatever your word or whatever your spirit asks to do. Father, I pray that it would do. In Jesus' name, amen. Each of us who drive a vehicle have a dilemma. How many of you drive a vehicle? You have a vehicle you drive. You drive something, some type of transportation, some type of motor vehicle. Each one of us who drive a vehicle know of what we call blind spots. Blind spots. They can appear, of course, on your right hand or your left hand. You're going down the road, and you're getting ready to turn into the other lane, and as soon as you get ready to turn, you hear a honk. You hope you hear a honk. You hope it's not a crash, bam, thank you, ma'am. You don't want that. But they're blind spots. And nowadays they've come up with these beautiful inventions, and whoever made those inventions, God bless them, they have a little invention where you drive down the road, you're getting ready to turn, and there's somebody's in your blind spot. There's a little indicator. It will light up and tell you that somebody's in that blind spot. It's a beautiful thing. But the reality is, just like there are physical blind spots when we're driving, we've all probably been in someone's blind spot. When I am driving, riding my motorcycle, I always look not only at my mirror, but I look to my left or to my right to make sure I'm not going to be in somebody's way. But just like we have physical blind spots when we're driving, we can also have spiritual blind spots in our lives. Blind spots are a problem for everyone. Not just a problem for some people. Every one of us has blind spots, and we don't know what they are sometimes. Thus the name blind spots. There's areas in our life that we struggle in that we just can't see. The Bible says in 1 John 1:8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If you say, hey, Pastor Marty, I come in this room today, I know I am perfect. Well, God bless you. Would you come shake my hand at the end of the service? I'd like to meet you. Because you're the first one I've ever met. Or at least the first one that ever been honest about it. James chapter 3 and verse 2 says, for in many things we offend all. Galatians 6:3 here, if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. So if you're sitting here this morning thinking you have no spiritual blind spots, or not any spiritual blind spots, or thinking your blind spots are smaller than the other person's blind spots, you're probably in trouble this morning. You see, the reality is we have blind spots, and those blind spots that we have in our life, cause us trouble in our life, don't they? Because there's always consequences to sin. There's always consequences to blind spot. Well, if you don't see somebody in your blind spot, there's going to be an accident, isn't there? There's going to be a crash. There's going to be trouble. There could be hurt of the vehicle and possibly loss of life. And so it is in the Christian life. So often people have blind spots that they can't see, but other people can see. And same what it is out there on the road. A lot of times I'm behind somebody and I see them getting ready to veer in the other lane. The person couldn't see him, but I could see him because I'm outside, not in the situation myself. What are some consequences to having blind spots? Well, lack of peace with God. Bible says in Psalm 51, verse 3, my sin is ever before me. Lack of personal purity. Verse 7, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Lack of joy. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation. Lack of fellowship with God. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit away from me. Lack of communion with family and friends. Blind spots can keep us separated from one another. 1 Corinthians 10:21, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partaker of the Lord's table and the table of devils. And ultimately, lack of health and possible death. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, talking about communion, Paul writes, for this cause, partaking of the Lord's table unworthily, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. So the blind spots that we have in our life hurt us and harm us. So as a result, what do? By the grace of God, we listen and obey Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Instead of when people who love us tell us about our blind spots, encourage us to do right, our natural inclination is to say, no, I don't have a blind spot. I am okay. And then focus on someone else's blind spot. That's our natural implication. Remember Adam and Eve? Oh, there were some blind spots back there, wasn't there? Man, don't eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden of the knowledge of good and evil. But they did, didn't they? Well, I'm sure if you went to Eve at the very beginning and said, well, man, it's just one piece of fruit. What's one piece? What's just one? The problem is God said you can have fruit of every tree, but that one. And just like our human nature, instead of eating of the other trees, we eat of the fruit that is forbidden. The blind spot. See, because of disobedience, God in his love must discipline us. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Now no chastening for the present seemed to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Who growing up liked to get spanked by their parents? You like that? I mean, I never liked it. But was it good for me? Yes, it was. And actually, I should have probably got a lot more spanking. I just didn't get caught. I just didn't tell them. But I deserved a whole lot more. And God, in his love, sometimes to help us with our blind spots, reproves us, chastens us, helps us to see areas where we're struggling because we get too stubborn to see it ourselves. And God, in his love, because he loves us, does what's best for us. You see, you look out through Scripture and you can find lots of examples of people who chose to sin and there were severe consequences. Remember Achan? Remember Achan? Joshua chapter 7, if you'll look. Joshua chapter 7. What happens? Here's a place that God himself had told the children of Israel, go out there and utterly destroy. Destroy the entire town of Jericho. But when you're destroying it, don't take anything from it. It's an accursed thing. It's a wicked thing. Don't do it. And they, by walking around the walls and shouting, the walls come down. They have a great victory against this walled city. when they go out against another smaller city by the name of Ai, and they go out trying to defeat it, and in trying to defeat it, they get beat up, they get whipped, and lose 36 men. And Joshua comes back and says, God, I thought you wanted me to destroy all these towns. I thought you wanted me to utterly destroy all these places. We, you know, had a great victory there in Jericho, but Ai was such a small city. We had fewer men. What happened? The problem, there was sin in the camp. Achan had taken things in Jericho that he should not have taken. And so Joshua had to get up and go before all Israel and find Achan. And Achan confessed his sin, but him and his family and all his belongings were destroyed. Why? Because without purity and holiness, there can not be true service unto God. You say, well, that's the Old Testament. What do we do today? Well, when there's sin in the church today, it also must be dealt with. How does that happen? Well, take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 18. What happens when there's sin in the church? Or blind spots in the church? Look at Matthew chapter 18, starting at verse 15. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 15. How do we deal with problems or blind spots in the church? Matthew chapter 18, verse 15. It says, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, trespass means to sin, cross over the mark, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. Now, that's very important. That's very important. Say we're in the room this morning. We just had fellowship. And one lady sees another lady take her purse. And I know you guys love one another, but that's a whole lot of love. Okay, that's the wrong type of love. Okay, you don't take somebody's stuff that's not yours, right? See, somebody takes it. Well, you see them take it to the car, and you bring it back. Well, hopefully the lady, you see it, and you go to the lady, and you say, ma'am, I think you accidentally took my purse. Accidentally. You're being kind. You're Christian. You're in church, right? Everybody sweet, kind. I love you. I just hugged you 5 minutes ago. I didn't take that. What are you talking about? I didn't take anything. Well, ma'am, my purse is not here anymore. Now, I'm not saying it's something that this actually happened, guys. This is hypothetical, all right? My purse is not here. I saw you walk outside with my purse. Would you please go check outside? I didn't do it. I'm sorry. Well, you do that between you and that person. That's how it all starts. It says then, verse 15, if he shall hear thee, or in this case she, thou hast gained a brother. Oh, I made a mistake. You know what? Your purse is brown. My purse is brown. I accidentally grabbed your purse. I took it to my car. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. I was wrong. Praise God, it's over. Verse 16. But if he or she will not hear thee, then take one with thee. Take with thee three or more. Take with thee one or two more. Then in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. So if you go to her and say, hey, I think you take your purse. She says, no, I think you're crazy. I didn't take your purse. Then you come to one or two people. Brother DJ. Brother Kelly. Another lady. Hey, I think somebody took my purse. Can you help me out in this situation? Well, sure. Okay. Then if you don't get to that place, it says you go to the entire church and tell them. Now, this is, again, just a hypothetical situation to just illustrate the situation. But it is what we're supposed to do. It says, if you neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. And if you neglect to hear the church, let them be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican, meaning someone who's not a Christian, as someone who's not in the faith, to the place where, hey, if you won't listen to what is said, and clearly you know what you're doing is wrong, something has to be done about this to continue saying that what you've done was right. When everyone believes you've done what was wrong, that person cannot be treated as a brother. They must be treated now as a heathen or a publican. You say, I can't do that. That's the pastor's job. That's the deacon's job. No, that's our responsibility. That's our responsibility as brothers and sisters in Christ. Folks, if this was properly done in churches today, we would have fewer problems. But I'm going to tell you what happens most of the time. Somebody takes somebody's purse, and before they even get out the door, you wicked, wicked, wicked person, I'm going to photograph it and put it on Facebook. Man, you don't even know the intentions. You don't even know what. It could be an accident. It could have been nothing really. She didn't mean to do it. It was just a mistake. We jump to conclusions. Instead of going to the person that did wrong, we tell everybody in the whole church, except the person that needs to be talked to right then. And before service tonight, everybody knows about it except for the preacher. And the preacher might be the person that actually can fix it. We don't go to our brother. We talk about it. We gossip about it. We don't get it right. And that's why we have problems oftentimes, even in the church. Because it's not done God's way. You say, I can't do that. Do you love God? Do you love your brother? Do you love the church? See, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 6, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Do you love somebody else that you see with the blind spot? You love them so much that you're willing to help them, encourage them, and strengthen them. You see, if we were having our fall festival last week, as we did, and I saw some kid go out into the woods, you know, I'm sitting there throwing the TP into the TP place. I look over to my right, and I see some kid going off into the woods. I wouldn't just say to myself, well, there goes another one. I hope he makes it. No! If I saw him go through the woods, I'd holler, I'd yell, I'd scream, and if he wouldn't listen to me, this chubby, bald-headed Baptist preacher would run down there and get him. I would do whatever's possible to try to save the kid from the woods, because the woods are bad for kids, right? Especially by themselves. And so should we, brothers and sisters. If we see somebody and we care about them and we love them, the same person you've been shaking their hands for years and hugging their necks for years and tell them how much you love them, we're a loving church serving a living Savior, right? That's what we say. Words are one thing. Actions are another. If you see a brother with an issue, what do? You do something about it. Now, specifically, Paul is writing these things to these folks in Galatia because there's a group of people called the Judaizers that they believed to become a convert. They had to obey the laws of Moses, the regulations, the ceremonies before they become a Christian. That's why he writes in chapter 1, verse 7, the book of Galatians, I marvel that you so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you that would pervert the gospel of Christ. He wrote this letter because they were going astray. They were going a wrong direction. He wanted to help them. He writes to them in chapter 3, verse 10, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you would not obey the truth? But no man is justified by the law on the side of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. So what we see here in these few verses in Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. Let me unpack these verses for you by the grace of God. First of all, by the grace of God, let us help him up. Let us help him up. Brethren, this is talking brothers and sisters in Christ. He's not talking about saved and unsaved, lost, and those who know God. They're talking about brothers and sisters in Christ. Those of you who know Jesus as your Savior. Brethren, another Christian. If another being overtaken means to be caught in a snare. To be caught in a trap. This person has a pattern of doing something that is clearly wrong. This is not a one-time event. This is something a person is struggling with on a regular basis. This is something that if we asked 99 people would say what you did was wrong, like stealing a purse. Most of you would say stealing a purse is right, wrong, right? Amen. So this is a brother in Christ who's been overtaken. They're falling in a snare. They're doing something that is wrong. It's a regular pattern of disobedience. Ye which are spiritual. Now, it doesn't specify a pastor or a deacon. Of course, it means probably a pastor or a deacon, but people who know better, people who've seen it, people who maybe even have struggled with purse stealing in the past, but they've gotten right about it. They don't want to steal any more purses. These are spiritual people. The Bible says in chapter 15, the book of Romans, verse 1, when ye that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. These are not carnal people. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as carnal, even as babes in Christ. This is not baby Christians. These are not new Christians. These are people who are spiritual, who walked in the Word for years, who know God and walk with God. These are these type of folks. Because the last thing we need is people just going around thumping people, being hard on people because it's just something to do, right? No, we're just restore people. The idea of restoring a person is the command. It's like setting bones back together. It's mending nets. It's reconciling two warring groups. The idea is we see somebody who's going through a struggle. They're doing something. They're committing a continual fault in their life. They're there to help them, not to punish them. They're there first to encourage them. I love what Charles Spurgeon said about this. He said, Give me a friend, a man who will speak honestly of me before my face, who will not tell me first, who will not tell first one neighbor, then another, who will come straight to my house and say, I feel there is a wrong in you, my brother. I must tell you. That man is a true friend. He's proved himself to be so. For we never get any praise for telling people their faults. We rather hazard their dislike. You see, if I come up to you last week, after our harvest festival, and I said to you, brother, I think you got some pudding in your face. You ate a lot of Marilena's pudding. I think you got a little of pudding right here. You might want to check. I hope you wouldn't get mad at me. I'm not there to try to make you feel bad because you got a little pudding in your face. I'm there to help you so you don't look bad to everybody else. That's what a true friend does. A wicked person just goes around and tells everybody how silly you look with the stuff on your face. That's a wicked person. That's an evil person. But a true friend goes up to you and says, brother, I don't know if you saw that, but you got some banana pudding. I know it was good, but you really liked it. You might want to go to the mirror. And so it should be in our lives. We should seek to help him up, restore. How? In the spirit of meekness. That means humility, gentleness, compassion. Remember Jesus in John chapter 8, helping the woman who's caught in adultery? Remember the Pharisees? They caught this woman caught in adultery. The Bible says in the very act. And they brought this woman caught in adultery to him. And while they brought this lady to him, Jesus was down scribbling something in the sand. I'd love to know what Jesus was scribbling in the sand, don't you? You know, my opinion is, it's just an opinion. I think he was saying, where's the man? Because if there was an act of adultery between a man and a wife, right? It's two people. Here's the woman, but where's the man? That's just my opinion. But they're getting ready to stone her. They're getting ready to destroy her life. And they say, what should we do? And what does Jesus say? You know what he says, right? He that hath not sinned, cast the first stone. Instead of casting stones, they're dropping stones. And they're walking away. And he says to her, where are your accusers? They're gone. And he says to the woman who's caught in adultery, he doesn't say whether she's right or wrong. He just says, go and sin no more. That's compassion. He didn't rail on her how bad she was. He just says, you've done wrong. You know you've done wrong. Go and sin no more. Why? Lest thou also be tempted. We're all tempted to sin, right? Does anybody in this room struggle with sin? Amen?
Amen.
Somebody say amen. I know you guys had an extra hour of sleep now, so you got to be awake, okay? So somebody say amen. You struggle with sin. If you don't struggle with sin, at least punch your husband, punch your wife. Tell them somebody say something, okay? Why? Because lest we also are tempted. We sometimes are tempted. We sometimes stumble. We sometimes fall. The Bible says in Proverbs 24, verse 16, for a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. So first of all, we help him up. Second of all, we hold him up. Look at verse 2. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. The Bible tells us to love thy neighbor as thyself. One of the greatest things you can do for another person is to help them. You see them struggling. You see them hurting. The word burden here means a heavy load. They're under a heavy load. They got 200 pounds of concrete on their back, and they're barely making it down the way. They're struggling. They're stumbling. They're falling. They're hurting. I had a dear friend years ago who was in the youth group. He came to me one day and said, Pastor Marty, I'm struggling with a burden. Now, the easy thing to say, well, I'm sorry, have a good day. Be warm and be filled. That's what we want to do. Well, you having a bad day? I'm having a bad day too. You want to hear about it? No, he said, I'm struggling with something. I said, brother, what are you struggling with? He said, I got this problem. Would you help me with? Yeah, I said, yeah, I can help you. Let's pray together. Let's talk about it. Let's get together every Wednesday night. You be accountable to me. I'll be accountable to you. Let's help one another. Let's encourage one another. Because iron sharpeneth iron, right? We're supposed to help one another, encourage one another. The Bible says in James 5:16, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. Do you have someone in your life that you can take the mask off with? I'm not talking physically, folks. I'm talking about spiritually. Do you have anybody in your life that you can talk to and tell them your troubles, your problems, your difficulties, your heartaches, your worries, your wounds? You have anybody in your life? You say, well, I go to Jesus. That's the start. But every person ought to have somebody in their life, maybe a husband, a wife, a friend, somebody that you can go to and talk to where you're struggling, you're hurting. Who are you to somebody? We help them up. We hold them up. We recognize they have limitations. 1 Corinthians 10:12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall. You see, folks, church is not a club. It's God's house. A club is somewhere, a place you go, you like it, you like what's outside, you like what's going on, you pay a little due, and if you don't like it, you just get out and leave. I joined a few fitness clubs. I'm not part of any right now, I can tell you that. I've joined a few. Get there, get up 5:30 in the morning, get up there, see those other souls. Wished I looked like that, said I'm never going to look like that, and I quit. That's a club. Church is different because church is human beings. Human beings you connect with and love and fellowship with. Human beings that you folks are as close to me as my own family. You're my family. You're not just people I see 3 or 4 times a week. We are a family, brothers and sisters in Christ. That's why we can't go solo. We have a church, not a club. We're to help him up. We're to hold him up. And thirdly, this morning, we're to stand him up. It says there in verse 4, but let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Because ultimately, we realize that one day, we who know Jesus Christ are going to stand before God himself. And when you stand before God himself, even as your pastor, I cannot be with you. I'm not going to be with you at the judgment seat of Christ. I'm not going to be with you when you stand before God someday and God takes an account of your life to judge your life or discern your life or take an account of your life, not of your sins were paid upon Calvary's hill, by the blood of Jesus Christ, but takes account of your life where the things you've done in your body be good or bad. We see that in 2 Corinthians 5:10. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone receive the things done in his body according to he hath done, whether it be good or bad. How did you lead your life? With the life, the opportunities, the gifts, the abilities that God has given you, what did you do with those things? And at that day, rewards will be given, or things will be taken off. Some will actually, the Bible says, suffer loss. 1 Corinthians 3:12, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, and precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for in the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If you lived your life, Christian, for you, if you built your kingdom, but not God's kingdom, when that day comes, when you stand by the refiring fire of God's judgment at the judgment seat of Christ, your life, the things you've done just for this temporal life, will be gone. Because you built your life on wood, hay, or stubble, things that don't matter. But if you built your life on precious stones and gold and silver, those things which will last, things that will not be temporal but eternal, you will not suffer loss, but you'll be rewarded. The question is, whose kingdom are you building right now? Yours or God's? We choose that every day. By the grace of God, folks, we need to be the indicators to help other people in this Christian life. We need them, as small as they are, on the side, in our window, in our mirrors, just little bitty indicators to help people when they're struggling, when they're falling, when they need help. We need to be the indicators to help them. People beside you right now, people in front of you may be hurting. They're not going to tell you maybe they're hurting, but they're hurting. What are we going to do? We can stay in our foxholes of indifference while we hear the cries of people who are in pain, and say, well, I got my troubles, they got their troubles, let's just let them deal with it. I'll deal with my own. Or we can see other people who are struggling with faults. They're bearing heavy loads. And by the grace of God, we can do something to help them. The question is, will we? Will we? I love the book by Lieutenant Hal Moore called We Were Soldiers Once and Young. Was made into a movie with Mel Gibson. But November 1965 in Vietnam, 450 of his men were dropped into a small clearing in the I Drang Valley in Vietnam. They were immediately surrounded by 2,000 Vietnamese. One young man who was in battle was named Willie F. Godbolt. He's from Jacksonville, Florida, right down the road. He went out to try to fire against the invaders that were coming after him. He got shot. He called out for help. I've been shot. Somebody help me. Right then, Lieutenant Jack Gohagan, 24-year-old man from Pelham, New York, who had a wife and just born baby, went out there and helped him. Picked him up. Towed him off the battlefield. And just when he was getting ready to survive, he was shot and killed. He gave his life to save another man. He was willing to bear another person's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. The question I have for you this morning is, are you willing to be that type of Christian? It's easy to get in your own foxhole, to get in your own mode in life, to get busy, get caught up in what's going on in the world, the politics, the social injustice, the troubles of the world, and not let anything bother you. Or you can say, Lord Jesus, by the grace of God, I know there's people. Maybe a person right in front of you this morning. Maybe a person right behind you. Maybe a neighbor right beside you. Maybe someone you'll meet on your way home today as you stop that is going through a burden. They're going through a trouble. How are you going to do it? What are you going to do? You'll stop and say, hey, can I help you? Stop, can I pray for you? Stop, can I bear the load? Can I help bear the heavy load that you're going through right now? Or will we look at them and say, oh, God, help them, and walk away? Folks, the choice is ours. What are we going to do with blind spots? What are we going to do with blind spots? Help people or condemn people? Father, I pray, God, you'd help us tonight, this morning. Lord, we all struggle with blind spots. We all have them. But I pray, God, by the grace of God, you'd help us with love try to help other people. There are people in this world and really people in this room that are struggling. Struggling in areas that they can't see. They can't see the blind spots. They can't see the problems. But sometimes maybe you can see them or others can see them. Are you willing to help? Are you willing to be there for those who are hurting? Head bowed, eyes closed. Pastor, God's convicted me. And maybe there's somebody in your mind right now as I'm talking. There's somebody in your mind that you're thinking about. You need to help. And you say, Pastor, with God being my helper, I want to try to help that person. I know I've been needing to help that person. God's put that person on my heart, but I just haven't done it. Would you help me have the courage and love to help that person that I know is struggling? Would you pray for me? Anybody be honest this morning and do that? I need to help somebody. God's placed that person on my mind. Place that person on your heart. I want to pray. I need to help them. Amen. Someone else or somebody in my life I need to help who's hurting. I want to help them. Would you pray for me? Maybe this morning God's placed God revealed a blind spot in your life. Maybe through the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, maybe He's revealed a blind spot in your life. Maybe it's the not being willing to help other people is your blind spot. Maybe you're struggling with something else. Whatever in need, I pray that God will work in your heart. See, the greatest blind spot was not knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. For many a year, I came to church and I made decisions, but I didn't know God because I thought a relationship with Jesus was walking an aisle, praying a prayer, and getting baptized. Decisions don't save you, folks. Jesus saves you. You can make all the decisions of the world. You can pray and make prayers. You can get baptized and the water's gone. You can fill out cards. I hope your trust is not in a decision you made when you were 5 or 10 or 15 or 30, but your faith and your trust is in Jesus alone. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, you've come to the greatest place you can come to. You've come to the church, and we'd love to take a Bible and show you from the Word of God how you can place your faith in Jesus, not in the decision in the past. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to sing just two verses of the hymn this morning, the wonderful hymn, Just As I Am. Just a couple of verses, Just As I Am. Page 167 in the hymn book. 167. If God has spoken to your heart this morning, I pray you simply obey. Say, Lord, maybe there's somebody you need to help. Maybe you would like to come pray for them. Maybe you're struggling with something in your own life.